It's one of those programs that comes on every year, and it's hard not to get sucked into the stories and the action each springtime. It's a bit like the talent show competition equivalent of sporting events like Wimbledon or the Masters. You find yourself watching, even if they're not normally your cup of tea. And if you're here this morning and you've never watched Britain's Got Talent or you don't know what it is, it's our annual nationwide talent competition to find the act that is entertaining enough, that is funny enough to perform for the Queen at the Royal Variety Performance. It is our way of finding out who is worthy to perform for Her Majesty. Now, of course, Britain's Got Talent is only a small example of our search for someone who is worthy. But when we think about it, we actually put a lot of our efforts into doing that. Now, have you ever been in the position where you've been hiring an employee? And so you go through the CVs and you interview the candidates because you want to find the person who is worthy to represent your company. When Pauline and I were looking for a nursery for Eleanor, we were looking for someone who we knew that would be worthy of our trust as we entrust the care of our daughter to them. Even our elections, there are a method of selecting who is worthy to represent us in the council or in parliament. All this pales in comparison when we're looking at the cosmic picture, when we look who is the worthy leader that we really need. Just think for a moment, how often have you been in conversations where you lament the weaknesses and failings of our political leaders on either side of the aisle? How many times have you been in conversations that the whole tone is just one of cynicism and disappointment? I can think of even just a couple of weeks ago, meeting up with a friend in the pub, and he was convinced that the failings and the ineptitude of our leaders would lead us to disaster, and in that case, to war. We need a leader who can govern with power. How often do we look at our world and we realize that all isn't right? In spite of all the advances that we have in technology, it's still a broken place. It's full of strife and suffering and heartache. We need a leader who will come to put our world right, a leader who will bring an end to suffering. How often do we look out at creation? Maybe you were watching Blue Planet 2 and you saw the mess of plastic in the ocean. Or you think about climate change or species extinction. We need a leader who can fix the oceans, who can restore the atmosphere, who can replace the lost species. We need a leader who can fix creation. How often do you look out at the church and lose hope? You hear the headlines and you look around the world and think of all of the faithful Christians who've been harassed and persecuted for their faith in Christ. We need a leader who can bring justice. And how often do we look at ourselves and despair? We're battling that same sin that we were battling this time last year, and this time the year before that, and the year before that. We're stuck in the mire of our own personal issues and struggles. We need a leader who can sort out the mess in you and in me. But who is able to do this? Who is able to be the worthy leader that we truly need? What we're going to see in today's passage is that we aren't the first people to have pondered this and to have struggled with this. But we're going to see that there is hope. There is such a worthy leader, the one that we can trust in, the leader that we need. And I've divided the passage into 3 points. They're on your service sheets. It's going to come up on the PowerPoint behind me. And we're going to look at our first point now. And it's, weep no more, for the lion has triumphed. And it's verses 1 to 5. So let me read. We're going to read down to verse 4. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat in the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or look inside. If you were with us last Sunday, you'll remember that this book of Revelation is a book given by Jesus to John for 7 churches in modern-day Turkey. And some of those churches had begun to face persecution at the hands of the Roman authorities. And all of them were promised that persecution was coming. They needed to know what God's pattern for the Christian life would be and what his plan is that's coming if they were going to keep going, keep being faithful in the midst of the struggles and the persecutions that they would face. Last week we saw God reveal to John a glimpse of himself, a glimpse of him seated on the heavenly throne, sovereign and ruling his court, a glimpse of him being praised by all the heavenly creatures as the holy, eternal Creator King. And this week, at the beginning of chapter 5, we have that same glorious vision, the vision of God seated on the throne. And in the right hand, his right hand, he is holding a scroll written on both sides and sealed with 7 seals. And as with everything in this passage, the details are symbolic. This scroll represents God's plan of justice and ultimate salvation. And John's readers would have been immediately thinking back to the scrolls in the Old Testament books of Ezekiel and Daniel, promising God's judgment and his future decrees. There is hope for us. God has a plan to bring justice and ultimate salvation to the world. The scroll is the blueprint of action for that worthy leader. But here's the big problem. The scroll is sealed up. It remains unopened. It's like a person's will, sealed up, waiting for the executor to come and arrive. Look down at verse 2. A mighty angel announces a great competition. It's like a heavenly, heaven's got talent competition for all creation to join in. To find the person who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll. And all the heavenly creatures and the elders and the people from all over the world, they line up to try their hand to see if they would be the one who could open the scroll. But no one is found worthy to open it. It's almost comic in its tragedy. No one is found worthy to be the executor of God's plan. God's justice remains sealed up. His plan of salvation appears to have stalled. And it's hard to overestimate how much of a disaster this is. No one is found who can govern the world with justice and power. No one is found who can bring an end to suffering and heartache. No one is found who can fix creation. No one is found who can sort out the mess in you and in me. And that no one includes us as well. It might seem pretty obvious that we aren't the people who on our own can sort out the problems in the ocean or can bring justice and peace. But do you believe that you're the one who can sort out the mess in your own life? Do you think that if you try hard enough, if you use the right schemes and the right techniques, you can avoid getting hurt? That you can fix the problems in your own life? This passage shows that even we aren't able to execute God's plan of justice and salvation in our own lives. Look down at verse 4 with me. The thought of this drives John to tears, and I can't say I blame him. And this is the situation John's readers might have felt they were in, facing opposition from the Roman Empire. They would have been tempted to look around in despair, to think that God's plan has stalled, to think that the worthy leader that was promised just won't come, to think that no one will come who will end persecution and put things right, to despair as if God's salvation plan has failed. I think this is often how we too can view the Christian life. We look around the world and we long for a leader who isn't a failure and who can achieve justice and peace, and we don't see one. We feel as if God's salvation plan has failed us, failed the church, failed the world. We feel stranded in the midst of our sin, daunted by the troubles in our own lives, despairing at the state of the church, hopeless in the face of the future, feeling that nothing and no one can fix our mess. The tragedy that God's plan appeared to be stuck drove John to tears. And it may have driven us to tears in the past as well. It is a dreadful thing to contemplate that God may not be able to bring about his salvation plan. But let's praise God. John's vision doesn't end here. Let's look down at verse 5. What we've seen, it might be how life appears to us, but it is not the reality. Let's see what happens next. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals. Weep no more. There is one who is able to open the scroll. There is one who is worthy to enact God's final plan of justice and salvation. There is one who is able to be the executor of God's decrees. The worthy leader does exist. He is here. And who is he? Look down again. He is the Lion of Judah, the Root of David. And just as it is used today, lion then was a symbol of kingly power and authority. If you don't do it now, but later on, if you look through the small change in your pocket, you'll find that lots of the coins have lions on them, symbolizing the strength and the power of the United Kingdom. With World Cup season upon us, we're reminded of the famous song about England having three lions on their shirts. And this kingly lion hasn't just appeared from nowhere. He has come from the royal tribe of Judah, the royal line of David. He is worthy because he is the king, the triumphant king, and his name is Jesus. Though as we look at the church and at the world and lament the mess that we see, we need not despair. We can rest assured that Jesus, the worthy king, is bringing and will bring justice. When we look out and see hypocrisy and corruption, when we see weakness even in the best of our leaders, we can see all of our attempts to bring peace and justice backfire. We need not lose hope. We are not lost. The chaos won't last because Jesus, our Lion King, is the triumphant, worthy leader that we need. And he will bring justice. When we look out at the church over the globe and we hear of the persecution that faithful Christians are undergoing, we need not lose hope. Because Jesus is the worthy leader we need, and he will bring justice. So let's rejoice, let's sing God's praise, because Jesus is worthy to open the scroll and deliver God's plan of justice. He is the worthy leader we truly need. Let's move on now to our second point, and it's sing, for the Lamb is slain. And it's in verses 6 to 10. But before we read the verses, I want to pose you a question. If John's vision had ended at verse 5, how do you think you'd feel? I think we'd be puzzled with loads of questions. Why is Jesus worthy to open the scroll? What has qualified him to do so? But personally as well, we'd have questions. And the big question would be, where do each of us fit in God's plan of justice and salvation? When I was an 18-year-old, I was one of those, super cool, super popular 18-year-olds who wasn't, hanging around with his friends or going to parties or anything like that. I was revising. And I was revising for trials to represent Ireland in a chemistry competition. Yeah. And there came a point where I had done the tests and the professors who were running the trials had seen my grades. And all that was left for me to do was to wait. To wait and see whether they would include me in the team or whether they would drop me. And so far in this passage, we've seen that Jesus is worthy to open the scroll. He's the truly worthy leader that we all need. But where do each of us fit in his plan? Will he treat us as my professor did, and treat us based on how good we are or based on our merits? Will he decide based on our abilities or our work what our position in his plan will be? Well, let's read verses 6 and 7 and find out. Then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. The lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. These verses are shocking. We expected to see a triumphant lion go up and receive the scroll from God. But instead we see a lamb. A lamb that is literally looking dead. Look down at your Bibles and see how this lamb is described. This slain lamb is standing right at the center of the heavenly courts, right at the focus of all of the praise and worship of the heavenly creatures. What could be a more striking picture of weakness than a dead lamb? But this lamb has seven horns, symbolizing the perfection and fullness of his power and his strength, and seven eyes, symbolizing the perfection and the fullness of his wisdom and knowledge, a wisdom and knowledge shared with the Holy Spirit, who is now sent out into all the earth. This lamb is Jesus. Jesus was described as a lion to emphasize his kingly power and strength. But why is he now described as a lamb? If you think back to Isaiah 53 that Andy read earlier for us, we heard about a lamb there too. A sacrificial lamb in verse 7 who was led to the slaughter. And why? Let me read. Because he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. Jesus is worthy to be the leader we truly need to open the scroll because he died in the place of his people. Even though he was completely innocent, he went to the cross. He took the punishment that we deserved. He took on our sin and faced the judgment that was due for us. The price of our healing, the price of our peace between us and God was his death. God laid on him, like a sacrificial lamb, the just punishment we deserve. The lamb, bearing wounds of sacrificial slaughter, is the triumphant lion. The weakness of Jesus the lamb dying on the cross is the power and the might of the Lion of God revealed. Take a look with me at verses 8 to 10 and see what happens next. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." It is no wonder that as the triumphant lamb, the lamb who was slain for his people, took the scroll, that the heavenly creatures fall down in worship and offer their prayers and praise to him. And they take up this great theme in their song, the theme that Jesus died and by his blood rescued persons from every nation, tribe, people, and language for God. We were wondering where we fit in God's plan. Where do we fit in the plan that the lion is executing? And here we have it. Our part in that plan isn't given to us based on our abilities or our works, as my part was given to me for that chemistry competition. No, we are part of God's people because of Jesus. He went to the cross as the sacrificial lamb in our place. His blood was shed to rescue us from the punishment we were due for our own sin. And he has given us tasks in this amazing plan. Look down at verse 10. We have been made into a kingdom. That is, we've been adopted into part of the Lion's kingdom. We have been made priests. That is, we've been commissioned into the service of God to declare his truth to the world. And we are promised that one day we will reign on earth with him. Though as we look at ourselves and we feel the despair of our constant battle with sin, though as we are so aware of all our weaknesses and our feelings, when we remember the times in the office where we had every opportunity to speak up about Jesus, but just chose to keep our heads down, when we remember and despair how frequently we come to church and we just trot out the words of the confession with little sorrow for our own sin, and with our hearts not moved by the thought of Jesus dying for us, when we're convicted that our first thought about our neighbours isn't love, but is anger at a whole list of minor grievances, surely we think that God's lion would have no interest in us. Surely we think that our only part in his plan would be receiving his terrifying judgment. But we can rest assured that it is precisely because the lamb didn't treat us according to our own merits, but died in our place and won our adoption into God's kingdom, that he is worthy to be God's Lion King. Because he has conquered all opposition and rescued for himself a people for God at the cost of his own life, he is worthy to be the leader we all need. amidst the difficulties and the pressures of life, as we face struggles and troubles, we can know that Jesus is victorious, that he is worthy to be the leader we truly need. Let's join with the elders and let's offer him our songs of praise. Let's sing out because the Lamb is slain. And for any of us here this morning who aren't trusting in Jesus as our Savior, for any of us who wouldn't say that the death of the Lamb is what has rescued us, then I urge you to think seriously about how great the news this passage is. Jesus is the answer to our longing for a leader who can govern with justice and power. He is the Lion who can bring an end to all suffering and pain. He is the Lamb whose death is the only thing that can restore our relationship to God's and sort out the mess in us. He is worthy to be the leader we truly need. Can I urge you to put your trust in him? You cannot execute God's plan of salvation and justice, but he can. He is worthy to. Trust in him. And with that wondrous encouragement and serious implication of these verses ringing in our minds, let's look down at our final point. Rejoice, for he is worthy. And we'll see it in verses 11 to 14. But before we read these next verses, let's remind ourselves of the big picture we've seen so far. So far we've seen God's Lion King is worthy to open the scroll and to bring about God's plan of salvation and justice. And we saw in our second point that he is worthy to do so because he is the Lamb who was slain for his people. But what we haven't seen is the end point. We haven't seen where this plan of justice and salvation is headed. What is its goal? We might get to be part of God's people, but what will his plan for us actually look out like? Well, let's see where things are headed in our final verses. I'm going to read from verse 11. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen." And all the elders fell down and worshipped. On Sunday, the 31st of July, 1966, traffic in the West End of London came to a standstill as thousands of people flooded onto the streets. Officials at the time remarked that they'd seen nothing like it since VE Day at the end of the Second World War. And it wasn't just in London, up and down the country, celebrations were happening. People were bursting out and organising spontaneous street parties. And why? Because England had just won the Football World Cup. Now, I know nothing about football, so please don't come up after me and ask me what I think about England's chances or who might win. I just don't have a clue. But what I do know is what this passage promises, that the celebrations of the victorious nation this year, whoever that nation may be, will one day be dwarfed compared to the coming celebration of Jesus' victory. Just look back at what happens in heaven in the verses I just read. On seeing the triumph of the Lion Lamb, the angels, numbering far, far more than John could count, burst into praise. They aren't interested in keeping any power or wealth or honor or wisdom or strength or glory or praise for themselves. They want it all to go to Jesus. He alone is worthy. The Lamb who was slain is the focus of praise of all the angels in heaven. And that's not the end of it. Look down at verse 13. Not only the angels praise Jesus, but every creature in heaven. And not just every creature in heaven, but every creature on earth. And not just every creature on the land, but every creature in the sea. All praising Jesus with all honor and glory and power forever and ever. And even the four living creatures, the representatives of creation, and the 24 elders, though they're seated on thrones, robed in white and with crowns of gold on their heads, fall down in worship of Jesus. This is the purpose of God's plan of salvation and justice. The magnifying and glorifying of the name of his Son, Jesus. You and I aren't the heroes. Jesus is. This is a glimpse of that day when, as Paul puts it in Romans 8, all creation will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. This is a glimpse of the day when every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. All creation, all the heavens, all the angels and the elders, all the church, all the heavenly creatures will join in the chorus, "Worthy is the Lamb." His praise will be the anthem of eternity. This worthy leader that we are trusting in, he won't be voted out after 5 years. No one will undo his policies. No one will usurp his place. Jesus has received from the Father the scroll. He is executing God's plan of justice and salvation. He is worthy to be the leader we so desperately need. All heaven is resounding with his praise at the minute, and nothing can slow or hinder or impede or prevent that final day when every knee will bow in worship and praise of him. So let's leave here this morning. Let's go out into the rest of our day, into the rest of our week, into the rest of our lives indeed, and rejoice, because Jesus, the triumphant lion and the slain lamb, is worthy to be the leader we truly need. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may the praise of all our hearts join in with the praise of your Son this morning. May we sing out and rejoice because he is worthy to execute your plan of justice and salvation. May we stand in awe at the lion's power. May we return our most humble thanks for the lamb's death. May we trust that Jesus is worthy to be the leader we truly need. And I pray that knowing this, we would be equipped to keep rejoicing and keep going amidst all the troubles and hardships of this world, as we await that wonderful day when he will come and put all things right. And we pray this trusting in his name. Amen.